Brad is in our Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair. He is the State Senate Republican President, Len Fasano. Senator, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning to you guys.
Senator, as we know, the House on Monday passed this CBEC concessions deal along party line votes, except for one Democrat who voted against it. When do you expect the Senate to take this up?
Well, I'm told that the plan is on Monday. Now, ultimately, that will be Senator Looney's decision. We've agreed to today being Monday, but whether or not the bill or the CBAC agreement and the other 34 bargaining agreements are all brought to the floor will ultimately be Senator Looney's decision.
Now, let me ask you this, Senator. This is something that could be very, very close, and it hasn't been close in a long, long time. Is there any chance, or is this just an automatic yes, yes, yes?
I think that it is not an automatic yes, yes, yes for about three of the Democratic senators. This deal is not a good deal, as was explained very articulately by your guest that you had on earlier from the Yankee Institute, Carol. I think she did a great job bringing out the important points of why this deal is not a good deal. And as far as it being automatic, no, I think there's some drama in this. But I got to tell you, you know, from what I understand, the Democrats and the unions are browbeating and putting a lot of pressure on those three Democrats, Senator Schlossberg, Senator Doyle, and Senator Hartley. And if people should call and encourage the three Democratic senators to hold their ground and applaud them for not caving in, at least at this point, because I think they need that encouragement. I really believe that. I think they're thinking long and hard about this deal, but they're getting a lot of pressure. Look, I met with some moderate Democrats of the House the day of the vote, and they were saying, we're getting incredible pressure to vote for it, and eventually all but one folded.
Well, when you talk about
unbelievable.
When you talk about pressure, Senator Fasano, incredible pressure. What would you? How would you describe this?
Pressure from leadership, saying I really want your vote. It's important to us to have your vote. You know, it's about politics, not about people, not about Connecticut. It's about power, politics. That's all it's about. The union, in particular, SEIU, is a strong supporter of the Democratic Party, has been, will be, and therefore leadership needs that support to keep their seats. So they're going to pressure their guys to vote in a way that matches the desire of SEIU. You know, I am sure, the Speaker, as you pointed out before in the show, employer has asked me, although ethically he can certainly vote on it, it's hard to believe that someone who's being paid doesn't have a affinity to lean, gravitate towards, their employer's point of view, consciously or subconsciously. And so I think that all in all, the pressure comes from, folks saying, listen, if you vote for this deal, we'll primary you in 2018. And, you know, do you want to go through a primary? So there's a whole host of different tools that they can use to put the pressure on. The ultimate decision has to be, is this or is this not good for the state of Connecticut? And Carol from Yankee Institute artfully described why it is not good for the state of Connecticut. It's not whether it's good for a political party. It's not whether it's good for a special interest group. It's whether it is good or it is not good for the state of Connecticut. That's where the decision is. But politics is getting in the way to a degree of which I think I haven't seen in a long time.
Senator, we had yesterday on the program House Minority Leader Themis Claridis, and she said the state's financial situation is so dire and the projection of the budget deficit over the next few years is in the billions that this particular vote in the Senate on the concessions deal will be arguably one of the most important votes any senator has ever taken. What would you say to that?
I would agree with that. This is a turning point. Look, I don't know if ever, mathematically, perhaps there's some period of time in the future. But so people understand, there's really two votes going on in the Senate as there was in the House. The first vote is for the CBAC agreement. That deals with pensions and health care. That contract isn't up till 2022. But what they did was they reopened that contract for the point of changing some terms of that arrangement. And then they'll continue that contract till 2027,
wow,
which means 10 years that,
wow,
you cannot change pension or health care. And, oh, by the way, we're only one of two other states in the country that has pensions collectively bargained as opposed for in statute. So that's number one component. The second component is there's 21 contracts regarding 34 different collective bargaining, 34 different union bargaining groups. Those contracts are up for vote. They expired in 2016. So there's sort of two separate votes here, one on the contracts, one on the pension. That type of situation is like a solar eclipse. It only comes around once in a very, very few years. So we have the time now to dramatically change the landscape in Connecticut and bring us back to some normalcy like the other states have done. And that's why when Representative Clarida suggests that this is a monumental vote, I don't think she's understating the impact that this will be.
Wow. Is there a chance? Do you really, in your heart, Senator, feel there is a chance that we can change it?
I believe that there is a chance this deal can not get affirmed in the Senate. And I really do encourage, in a polite way, those who want to encourage Senator Doyle, Senator Hartley, and Senator Slosberg to maintain their position and don't let politics drift them to a decision that they know in their heart and soul is not the right decision, by saying, that a boy, that a way to stand up, that a way to be strong for the state of Connecticut. We appreciate what you're doing. I think they, those words of encouragement go a long way in helping senators find their way in difficult situations. And they are in very difficult situations.
Senator, is there the chance that Martin Looney won't even bring this up for a vote in the Senate?
Now, that's a great question. The question is, if he does not have the votes, will he still bring it just so it goes down and we can move on? I don't know. That will be Senator Looney's decision to make with his staff. I go back and forth on it. You know, there might be a position to say, let's do it, get it over with, and it goes down. Then we know where we are, and we got to work differently on the budget. Once again, I have offered to meet with anybody, any place, anytime, anywhere, and to talk about negotiations. The speaker reached out to me, but all he wanted to know was why we did this in the budget and why we did that in the budget, sort of fact-finding and, you know, getting information from us on our budget, which I'm happy to give to him. Don't get me wrong. We're an open book. Take whatever you want, and we'll explain why we did what we did. But that's not negotiating. That's just trying to steal our ideas to stick in the budget. So they have not reached out to me for true budget negotiations, and I have made it clear I'm open. But as I said before, there's going to come a time that we're going to be too far along, and I'm going to be, hey, look, you know what? I cannot even reach a deal with you if you wanted to reach a deal with me. And that would be, you know, in September, late September, early October.
Wow.
Where it would be too late to even reach a deal.
Unbelievable.
But you do think there is a chance if Senator Looney does a head count and even one senator decides not to vote for it, that he might decide to not even bring it up for a vote?
Yeah, and the only thing about that is it would leave that question open. Now, he may decide not to bring up the vote because he wants to take more time with that one or two senators to convince them to vote for the deal, so he may want to get a little bit more effort into doing it, or let more pressure, if you would, come upon that one or two senators to say, hey, you better vote for it, or you got a world of hurt coming in 2018, because then he just leaves the issue unresolved. So, or he may take the position, listen, it's been sitting out there, they're never going to change their mind, let's vote, let them live with their vote, and then we'll go from there. So I'm not exactly sure what he's thinking. Marty plays it very close to the vest. So I just, you know, we're friendly and everything. We get along and we talk. But, you know, there's things that you hold, and that's something he's holding close to his vest.
This is a big one. This is a big one, no question about it. Probably one of the biggest that I can remember.
This is a huge, huge issue. And if it goes through, as Carol said, there's only, and you tie the hands for the next 5 years on those wage packages and 10 years on the pension and health care, there's only three places you could go to raise money if we go in the tank. Number one, you got to raise taxes, which apparently everybody believes is wrong because even the Democrats don't want to do it. Number two, you got to cut municipal aid, which means you're raising property taxes, which we don't like to do. And number three, and or number three, social services, which is morally wrong. So once you tie the hands of the legislature, you have automatically said, we are shifting the burden of a beneficial contract, beneficial health care and pension deal for state employees, and we're going to shift that burden on our municipalities, and we're going to shift that burden on our social services. And that's where really the issue lies.
Well, again, Senator, always tremendous to have you with us. And we just wanted our radio audience, Dan and I did, to know how dramatic in a way this is and how important this is to our future.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's what it's about, we have said. And if you look at, by the way, if you look at these contracts on purpose do not raise the individual contracts, the 21 of them. There are no significant, there are some raises in terms of salary and stipends and things like that for 2 years. But after 2 years, starting in 2020, oddly enough, after the 2 year budget, and coincidentally enough, after the 2 year budget, then they get 3.5% increases for 2 years. Basically, it's a 5% increase in salaries for the 2 years thereafter, as if in 2020, Connecticut miraculously is going to be fiscally sound to absorb this tremendous impact, which, by the way, brings me to my last point, is the Office of Fiscal Analysis has not done an analysis on this, and I fault the Speaker for pushing the bill forward without a fiscal analysis. We've never done that in that building. That set a new low bar for passing a bill which has a significant fiscal impact. And OFA was not, the Office of Fiscal Analysis wasn't able to give a report. How the heck do people vote for a bill when they don't know what the cost is to the state of Connecticut? That is simply an embarrassment, a malfeasance of their fiduciary responsibility to taxpayers in the state of Connecticut. And in 2018, whether you agree with their decision or not, you need to tell them it is wrong to pass a bill when you don't know what the fiscal impact is to the state of Connecticut. And that really burns me up, because that is an uninformed individual sitting in the seat representing 35,000 to 40,000 people who voted for a deal not knowing the fiscal impact. How do you do that? And then how do you put your head on a pillow at night? I don't get it.
Senator, you have no idea how much we appreciate you being with us this morning, Dan and myself. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much,
Senator.
Well,
thank you, guys. Hey, have a great day.
You too.